Hey, this is Stephen Bruce from Seymour Christian Church. I want to thank you for listening to the message today. As we open up the scriptures, I pray that God speaks to you and that the Holy Spirit will use it to help you on your journey to become more like Jesus. Thanks for listening. Have you ever caught yourself doing something and then thought halfway through, wondered, why am I even doing this? Yeah. Maybe you're working overtime on a project at work. You think, why am I doing this? I'm not going to get a raise. Nobody cares. Am I doing this for the company or for the paycheck? Or because I want my boss to notice me and to give me that promotion? Or maybe you're online and you decide you're going to post this Bible verse on Instagram. You think, did I post that to encourage others or because I want people to see how spiritual I am? We've all been there, and if we're honest, we often do the right things for the wrong reasons. And in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus confronts this issue head on. He asks us to dig deep into our motives and ask ourselves this tough question: why do you do what you do? Why do I do what I do? It's really this question of examining our motives. What's below the surface? So for the past few weeks, we've been going through Jesus' teaching in his famous sermon, the Sermon on the Mount. And so far, we've seen what Jesus has to say on anger and on our desires, keeping our promises and dealing, we saw last week, with those who wrong us. And I've heard some feedback about this series that people really enjoyed this time together, but that they really leave feeling a little convicted. Someone this week said, I feel like you're stepping on my toes. It's not me who's stepping on your toes, we understand, right? It's Jesus. But it's a good thing for us to feel that way. I think it's a good thing. We might leave here feeling a little convicted, or maybe at least during the week, we'd be more likely to notice when those things below the surface start to make their way above the surface. We've been using this picture of an iceberg over the last few weeks, that we're concerned about these things that happen above the waterline, our good deeds, the things that we do. But Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount is helping us try to understand how to be. Because so often the things below the surface are what really drive what we do above the surface. And so Jesus wants us to focus not on what we do, doing the right things, but being the right kind of person. And in today's passage, we're going to see how those two things converge, how they come together, the things above the waterline and the things below the waterline. Last week, we ended Matthew chapter 5. If you've got your Bibles, I encourage you to open up to Matthew chapter 6. Last week, we ended with Jesus talking about love, the word agape. Remember, that wasn't an emotion, it's a choice, a decision to make to love people, even when you're wronged, even when things are being working against you. He teaches us to be the light of the world, no matter what, we saw last week. And while we might feel like we've had our toes stepped on, I hope that those words and these words we're going to look at today do more than just cause us temporary pain of our toes being stepped on. I hope we're taking that as a cue from the Holy Spirit to not just worry about doing the right kind of things, those things above the waterline, but to be the right kind of person. So in Matthew chapter 6, we start this morning. Jesus says, be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets to be honored by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be done in secret. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others of sins, their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show others they are fasting. Truly, I tell you, they have received the reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that it will not be obvious to others that you are fasting, but only to your Father, who is unseen. And your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. Let's pray together. God, as we open up your word this morning, as we continue to hear these amazing words from Jesus, may our hearts be open, Lord, and may we be willing to have our toes stepped on. Please speak to each and every one of us, Lord, the things that we need to hear through this passage, that we can examine our motives, that we can examine our hearts. We can look below the surface and ask, why do I do these things that I do? And Lord, may everything that we do be for your glory and your glory alone. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. So we start off this morning in Matthew 6, starting in verse 1. It says, be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So as we start this chapter, Jesus begins, he says, with a warning, right? Be careful. Pay attention, he's saying. Because Jesus knows that when we focus on being the right kind of people, often something begins to happen in our hearts that we're going to see play out in this passage. Kent Hughes, in his commentary preaching the word, says this. He says, when we're filled with the Holy Spirit and with his word, including the explicit teachings of the Sermon on the Mount, we will practice righteousness. However, this is where the danger lies. For once we begin to fulfill the righteousness of God, once you are flying spiritually, often you are living a life full of good deeds. It's very easy to begin doing your acts of righteousness before men to be seen by them. So Jesus starts off, be careful. Pay attention. See, it can be tempting to do what's right so that others would see us, right? So that they would recognize how good we are. It's a very subtle and sneaky shift from pleasing God to pleasing people. How many of you would self-identify as a people pleaser? Some of you are like, I'm not going to raise my hand because then people won't be happy. Yeah, I am very much. I raise two hands for that, right? And often I can move from wanting to do things to please God to wanting to do things to please others. And Jesus says, be careful. Check your heart. It might look the same on the outside, these things you're doing, but you have to check your own heart, your motives. Ask that question, why do I do the things that I do? Because here's what I want us to see this morning. You can do the right things for the wrong reasons. You can do the right things for the wrong reasons. People throughout history have done the right things for the wrong reasons. You have often done the right things for the wrong reasons. If your motives are wrong, your works don't matter. That might sound harsh, but what Jesus says is, you won't get the reward from me if you do the right things for the wrong reasons. If your motives are wrong, your works don't matter. Now, that doesn't mean that God can't use whatever it is that you've done to bring him glory. This happens all the time. We're doing the right things for the wrong reasons. Christians or not can do good things, and God can use them, even if they weren't done to give him glory, to help advance God's kingdom. But the deal is we don't get participation points. A trophy just because we did the right things, even if our motives were wrong. In God's kingdom, our motive matters. There are people who often will, there's so many different ways we could unpack this, but I've seen these signs around, not just here, but everywhere, where you can foster children, right? And fostering children is a beautiful thing, but there are those who sometimes will foster children in order to what? To advance their pocketbook, right? Now, they might still be good to that child, but their motivation is off. Or those of us who tithe each week. We know that God loves a cheerful giver, but we also know that the government lets us write it as a tax write-off, right? Or people maybe who donate large sums of money, but expect their building on or their name on the building. You can do the right things for the wrong reasons. We have to watch our heart. And in these next few verses, Jesus is going to take us through three ways that we express our worship and live as salt and light in our worship, but ways that we can easily fall into doing the right things, good things, for the wrong reasons. And he starts with the act of giving in verse 2. He says, "So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets, to be honored by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full." Now, the first thing we see here is he says, "So when you give." So Jesus expects us to give. He expects us to be people who are doing this, who do this good deed. He's not saying if you choose to. Saying, when you do the good thing I've called you to, in this case, give. When you do it, there's a right way to do it and a wrong way to do it. You can do the right things for the wrong reasons. Jesus is saying, don't do it for the applause, or at least the applause of people. Now, historians have kind of debated this passage here, what might be happening, and there's a thought that at the time when the Jewish people would go towards the synagogue when it's time for worship, trumpets would blow, and so people would rush out and try to give to the needy as they're on their way to church, as everyone was gathering on the streets, so that they could be seen, right? This is actually where some people think we get the phrase, tooting your own horn. And I don't know if that's true or not, but the sentiment is true. Jesus says, don't toot your own horn. Don't give. When you give, don't do it to be seen by others. He says, as the hypocrites do. Now, hypocrite is this Greek word that the origin of it is in the theater. We've talked about this before, that it's about pretending to be something. And they didn't have stage makeup and costumes back then. They would use a mask. And so he's saying, don't pretend, don't put on a mask, a false front, so that people would see something that's not true about you. Someone who pretends, he says, don't be someone who pretends. And they aren't pretending to give. These people were really doing that. They're not pretending to give, but they are pretending to care. Do you see the difference? We can pretend to give. No, we can give, but are we pretending to care? Verse 3 says, "But when you give to the needy," again, when you do this, "do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be done in secret. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you." Again, we're supposed to do these things. These are all good things we're supposed to do. Why would he say in this case it has to be a secret? If you can put that back up there. Jesus' point isn't that it's a secret. He's asking, what's your motive? Why do I do the things that I do? See, this doesn't mean that we don't let our good deeds be seen. When he's saying, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, of course, we know that's impossible, right? He's saying, don't pay attention. Don't allow people to pay attention to you. Remember, Jesus has started the beginning of this Sermon on the Mount with the example of being salt and light. Remember that he said in verse 15 of chapter 5, "In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." He wants us to have our good deeds seen. He's not saying don't let your light shine. If you grew up in church, you know how the song goes, right? Hide it under a bushel. No, that's right. Some of you that didn't grow up in church are like, what just happened? Okay, it's a song. We're not supposed to hide our good deeds. We're supposed to let them shine. So what is Jesus saying here when he's saying, do it in secret. Don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. We're supposed to let our good deeds be seen, but our motives matter. There are times, even in the Bible, where we have examples of people knowing what others had given. And it was used as an example to be salt and light. In Acts chapter 4, starting in verse 37, we read these words. It says, with great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And God's grace was so powerfully at work in them, there were no needy persons among them. It says, from time to time, those who owned land or houses sold them, brought the money from the sales, and put it at the apostles' feet. This was in front of people. And it was distributed to anyone who had need. And then in verse 36, we read this. Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, who the apostles called Barnabas, which means sons of encouragement, sold a field he owned and brought the money and put it at the apostles' feet. It wasn't bad for people to know when you did something good. Sometimes your good deeds can be a testimony to the people around you, an example of being salt and light. So much so that they even called out this guy Barnabas to say, Barnabas did these things. Not to toot his own horn, but to give God glory. So it's okay. It's expected for us to do our good deeds so that people could see them and rejoice in our Father in heaven. But the very next verse gives us an example of what can happen when you're doing things with the wrong motives. It's the story of Ananias and Sapphira. You guys remember that story? This couple that did the same thing we just read about there, sold this property, but they lied about the amount and they kind of hid it and they came before the apostles, laid the money at the feet to show how good and righteous they were, but their hearts, their motives were impure. And if you know the story, they didn't get their toes stepped on, they died. They were struck down because their motives were impure. The difference wasn't the gift. Wasn't that it wasn't publicly known. The difference was the motive. Now, this is kind of lost on us today because in a lot of churches today, including our own, we don't, through our regular public acts of worship, publicly demonstrate our giving, right? We don't come forward and I stand up here and you guys dump money at my feet, right? That's not the way we do this anymore. Years ago when I was in college, I was in a worship band, and this story is kind of a sidetrack, but I'm going to tell it because it's funny. And we were up here doing the offering music, and the pastor came up, and he said, okay, people are going to come forward now, and they're going to lay the money in buckets in the front of the stage. I thought, okay, and I was just playing the music. We were doing the offering music, and he came up behind me. He goes, keep going, because we're waiting until enough is collected, and that's how we know we're done. That's not the way we do things anymore, right? We don't ask you to do that. We don't even, since COVID, even in this church, we don't pass a plate usually regularly anymore. So we don't really understand what this might mean for us to be presenting our offerings so that others could see that. But there are some ways that we still struggle with this today. I've heard stories from the past of preachers who would say that there'd be maybe a gentleman who would always cough really loud before he put money into the plate, you know, just to call attention of the money. He'd drop a big wad in there, people seeing his gifts. But what does this maybe look like for us today? Are we tempted to post a selfie when we're out volunteering? When we're doing something good? And we just want to share with the world, look what I'm doing today. I'm helping the needy. Or do we expect something in return when maybe we're helping a friend out with moving? What's your motive in your giving? Is it to be seen? Is it to be noticed? Now, human nature is we want to be recognized, right? And that's not wrong to be recognized for the things that we do, but is that our motivation for the good things that we're doing? We want to be encouragers. I think it's interesting that Barnabas, who was called out as this person who had given this money and uses an example, that he was called the sons of encouragement or one of the encouragers, right? I think he encouraged through his lifestyle. What's your motive? If it's not generosity, it's glory, right? But your glory. Kent Hughes goes on and he says this, the truth is He's talking about the people here in Matthew chapter 6. They were not giving, but buying. And they got what they paid for. They got what they paid for. You can do the right things for the wrong reasons. So let me ask you this question. Would you give, whatever it might be, money, your time, your resources, doing good deeds for others, would you give if no one ever knew you were giving? Jesus then turns to tell us how to worship through prayer. In verse 5, he says, and when you pray, again, when you pray, not if you pray. We're supposed to do these things. But when you pray, do not be like, once again, the hypocrites, putting the mask on, pretending to be something they're not. For they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. We are supposed to pray, right? We can take that from this. But again, our motive matters. Don't be like the hypocrites. Take off your mask. Jesus isn't saying this because he's against praying in public, right? That's not the point. Now, when we think of praying today, we often think of, you know, something very private. Maybe you bow your head, you close your eyes, you fold your hands. But back in this time, there was a different posture for prayer. It was often standing in the synagogue with your arms outstretched. And he's saying, don't do this for show. Because I can imagine that this posture could easily turn into this posture, right? Can everybody see me? Yep. Okay, they're over there. Yep. I'm praying. Everyone pay attention. Yep. Okay, they see me. He's saying, don't do this to be seen by others. He's saying, pray with a different posture, a different heart posture. Have you ever heard of someone that maybe, or heard someone when they get up to pray and all of a sudden they kind of become like a different person? Yeah, maybe my wife and I, we have some funny stories within our family. And one of them from years ago when the kids were little, my wife, she was in bed and it was early Saturday morning and we were talking and the kids were there and Angie was kind of talking like this. She just woken up and it was like, you know how it is when you're just waking up and just, and the phone rang. She picked up, hello, how are you doing? You know, that's kind of what happens sometimes when we pray. We become a different person, right? You might hear those people that they don't talk that way. Dear Lord, I come to you in this holy place. We beseech thee to, you know, and just all these words are like, what are they even talking about? That's not the way they normally talk. And God's saying, Jesus is saying, don't put on a mask. Don't pretend to be something that you're not. The hypocrites, they were just putting on a show to appear one way when what's going on in their hearts is something totally different. I'm not saying it doesn't matter what you say or that you shouldn't be reverent in your prayers, but they cared more about what people thought of them than what God thought of them. See, they were about the position, not just the physical position, but the position that they would gain in society, but they had the wrong posture. And your posture matters more than your position. Your posture matters more than your position. The position that you might have within the church, or the position people might think of, oh, they're good and holy person. They go to church every week. They teach a Sunday school class. They're the preacher that's up there. What's more important to us, our position or our posture before the Lord? What people think of us, our position or the posture that our hearts have? Now, maybe in your life, you don't have a lot of opportunities to pray in public, so you're not exactly sure what this could look like. But the principle that Jesus wants us to get is that he's looking for a different posture, not just how we stand physically, but how we stand before God in our hearts. And Jesus says, when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who's unseen. Why? Because it's not about who's watching you. It's about who you're talking to. And then he gives the most famous prayer ever prayed. We know this is the Lord's Prayer. I bet most of us could probably recite it. Many Christians often do. And that's good, but the point of Jesus giving us this is not to be able to recite it. Because we see here in verse 9, Jesus didn't say, pray in these words. He says, pray in this way. It's not about these particular words. Sometimes we can get hung up on that. That might be the only way that we communicate to God. He's not saying pray these specific words. He's saying pray in this way. And we're not going to go line by line through this today, but it is the focus of your growth group studies. So if you're not in a growth group, I encourage you, it's not too late to sign up to be in a growth group. But you can also just take out the study guide here during the week and go line by line, walk you through the Lord's Prayer. These different lines that Jesus says, not so that we can pray them exactly like that, but so that we can pray in this way. But for today, what I want us to see is that prayer helps us, in this prayer in particular, to have the right motives, the right posture before a holy God. We can see this in the structure. It's not about us advancing our position. It's about our posture of recognizing his position and his ability to help us to live as salt and light. So let me ask you this question. Would you pray in this way if people never knew that you prayed, if no one ever heard you but God? Jesus then gives us the third example of how we can worship with the right motives. He says in verse 16, when you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show others they are fasting. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. Do you see the pattern here? So now, fasting is the spiritual practice where you give up something. It's usually food to focus on God, but it could be other things. And it's a setting aside something you love to help you remind you that God is more important. And he says, when you fast, again, he expects us to do these things. But it's just like the good deeds of giving and prayer. It's easy to mess up our motives. And Jesus points out people who fast and make a big deal about what they're doing, they're hypocrites. The hypocrites, they're walking around, in this case, like they're starving, right? Making sure everyone knows they're sacrificing for God. What could this look like for us today, right? Now, we could be fasting, and maybe we do that. And we just walk around with a solemn face, and people, what's going on? Oh, I'm fasting. I'm just so hungry because I'm giving to the Lord. But there's other subtle ways that we do this, isn't there? It's like those people maybe on social media who they go through a social media fast. We see these often, a detox, we might call them, right? And they'll go on their post, I'm getting off social media because it's so terrible and I'm going to spend time with the Lord and so I'm going to be gone for a while. And they give all this information about how they're going to do this to draw closer to Jesus. And you could say, well, okay, I understand us doing that on social media can maybe help us to know where that person went if we're following them. And maybe it could be used as an encouragement, but it also could be a mask, couldn't it? How holy I am because of what I'm doing. The hypocrites, he says, they're walking around like they're starving, making sure everyone knows they're fasting. Verse 17, though, he says, but when you fast, again, you're going to put oil on your head and wash your face. So it will not be obvious to others that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Jesus says, don't miss the point. If you're fasting, if you're giving things up, if you're living in a certain way to impress others, you've missed the point. Jesus says, keep it private. He's saying here, wash your face. The oil was, so they would put it on their head. What they would do is their normal routine. And he's saying, don't let others know that you're doing it. Don't do this so that others can see how holy you are. Fasting, like all spiritual disciplines, is about what's happening between you and God, not about what others think of you. And your private motives, why you do what you do when no one's watching, matters more than your public displays of righteousness. Your private motives matter more than your public performance. Let that sink in. Your private motives matter more than your public performance. It's not about just what you're doing so that others can see. What's the motivation of your heart? Are there things in your life that you're doing just to look good to others? As Christians, we're supposed to do good things, but we do them not so that we look good, but so that God looks good. might say, well, I'm not on social media and I'm not particularly practicing the art of fasting right now. So how could this look like in my life? This is how it sometimes looks like for Stephen. I'll come in from a long day and I'll see my wife and I'll sigh. I'm waiting, right? I'm waiting for, what's wrong, honey? I just had such a hard day. Dan again in the office? No, I'm just kidding. We do these things, right, so that others would notice how hard things are for us right now. I know I'm not alone in that. Kids, maybe you, if you're there, or even some adults, we have chores, right? We want to make sure I'm going to do that when someone's watching, right? Mom, did you see I unloaded the dishwasher? I took the garbage out. You know, why are we doing that? Why are we calling attention to that? Because our public performance matters to us more than our private motives. We want to look good. So here's our question. Would you fast or do whatever it is that you might do to help you focus on God if no one ever knew you were fasting? It's easy for us to get lost in our desire to do the right things, to look good, to play the part, to wear the mask, so much so that we forget to be the right person, to be driven to shine our light so that God's name would be made known, not our own. Yes, we do this as individuals as we focus on looking the part of a Christian when what's going on in our heart might be something different. But we do this as a church as well, churches in general. We want the world to see how good we are. We'll call attention to that, to how much we've given to the poor, or how great and holy we are. But our lives, underneath the surface, we're living a little bit differently. But we want to be recognized, right? And some of that is good. It's a motivation because we want Jesus' name to be known, but it's so easy for us to make it about ourselves. Do we care more about building a crowd of people to be impressed by our church, but we fail to bring them closer to Christ? So why does Jesus spend all this time talking about our motives? Shouldn't it just be enough to do the right things? I mean, I think sometimes it's hard enough just to do the right things. Why should it matter why I'm doing them? Jesus wants us to understand that while the world might be impressed with our conduct, God only cares about our character. Our character will drive our conduct. We'll do the good deeds above the surface if below the surface our motives are right. There's nothing wrong with doing these good things. We're supposed to do good these things. He said time and time again, when you do this. But Jesus is clear. An earthly goal will only get us an earthly reward. And I don't know about you, but I want to live for something more than that. I want to live for something more than just the applause of men, as much as sometimes I love that, as much as sometimes I want people to think how good I am. I want my life, my motivation to be driven by something more than just people around me thinking I'm a good guy. We saw this last week as we talked about going the extra mile, right? Even for our enemies, God says. So what could it look like for you? Would I still do this if no one ever knew I did it? Would I still do this if no one ever knew I did it? It's a question I want you to wrestle with, whatever it might be in your life. Setting up chairs here in the church. Would I still do this if no one ever knew I did it? Being good at your job, following through on the things that maybe aren't vital, but help advance your company, even if your boss doesn't see it. Would I still do this if no one knew I did it? Rocking a baby in the nursery. Would I still do it if nobody else ever knew I did it? Serving at the alley. Doing things around the house before you're asked. Would I still do it if no one ever knew I did it? Imagine this, you're at a fancy banquet, And someone brings out one of those huge silver platters, right? Everyone's like, ooh, what's going to be under there? It's going to be great. I'm so excited. And they lift the lid and it's empty. That's how many of us are living our lives. Trying to look good on the outside, above the waterline. But Jesus is saying, what's on the plate here? This is what I care about. That's what happens when you do good things for the wrong reasons. On the outside, it looks impressive, but inside, it's empty. Jesus goes on and later on in Matthew in chapter 23, and he says these words. He says, woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees. And then here's the word of the day. You hypocrites, you pretenders. You're like whitewashed tombs, which look beautiful on the outside, but on the inside are full of bones of the dead and everything unclean. In the same way, on the outside, you appear as people as righteous, but on the inside, you're full of hypocrisy and wickedness. He's saying there's death inside you. You look good on the outside. You're doing all the good deeds, but your motivations are wrong. What could this look like for us today? We don't really maybe use the analogy of whitewashed tombs. And I heard a preacher say that if Jesus was coming today, maybe this is how he would present this picture here. How many of us remember these Zoom calls, right? Where from the above the line there, you had your suit on, you're looking good, but below, it's a mess, right? The guy's got slides on with socks. I mean, some of you can pull that off, but most of us can't do that, right? And this is what it often is like. Whitewashed tombs, looking good on the outside, but really the truth is we're kind of messy. What's below the line isn't all that great. And in this section of scripture, Jesus gives us these three different examples of practices of worship he wants us to participate in: giving, praying, and fasting. But the underlying message is the same beneath each one. Check your heart. Do these things for the right reasons. God isn't interested in empty performances. He's not interested in you coming in here, raising your hands or clapping or looking the part. He wants what's going on in here. He's looking for authenticity. Now, that's a buzzword today, right? Especially with the younger generation. Say they want authenticity. That's an important word for many people. But I think it's important for a reason. Because for so long, people have been craving that because they haven't seen it. I know growing up in church and in a Christian home, and it's just so easy for us to have the church filled, everything going great above the line, but what's going on underneath, it's not authentic. How many kids have grown up seeing families like that, that did the right things, but they weren't being the right kind of people? We see that in our politics today, don't we? People pretending to be one thing, but they're not authentic. Children have seen this in their own home. When they're out in public, the family is great and smiling, and everything's great, but behind closed doors, things are terrible. It's just like a Zoom call. Everything looks great. What's really going on? God wants our authentic selves. The world needs to see that. That's what it means to be salt and light, for them to see who we really are, that we are people who love Jesus. And we might not be perfect, but Jesus is perfect, and we're living it out below the line the best that we can. They would see our authenticity. Jesus goes on in Matthew 15. He says, these people, they honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. He cares what's going on in our hearts, even when no one else sees it. So the question for all of us today is simple but profound. Why do I do what I do? We get the answer to that, hopefully, in Ephesians chapter 2. It says, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and it is not from yourselves. It is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. You should do the things that you do because of God's grace, not because of your own goodness, but because of his goodness. So let's be people who give, who pray, and who fast with pure motives, not for the applause of people, but for the glory of God. Let's pray together. God, we thank you for this reminder that our motives matter. Lord, I pray that for each and every one of us that we would take time this week to ask ourselves, why am I doing the things that I'm doing? Lord, that we would try to live as authentic people before you and before the world. God, purify our motives, that it may be driven by the grace that we've received through Jesus Christ. Because none of us, no matter how many good deeds we've done, no matter how many sermons we would preach or prayers we would pray or how many times we come to church, Lord, none of us are worthy of the love that you give us, and none of us are worthy of your grace. But as that scripture just said, it's a gift given to us. We thank you for that gift. Lord, may we be motivated in love by that gift to serve above the waterline because of your grace, because of your goodness, because of your love. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.